What's happening, family? Welcome back to another episode of Let Us Tell It. I'm one of your hosts, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank. The other host is...
Goosebay. How y'all doing?
Absolutely. So if this is your first time joining us, we greatly appreciate it. Buckle in, hold on tight, and get comfortable. This is a weekly podcast where we pretty much talk about anything involving men, manhood, whether it has to deal with fathers, society, brothers, uncles, husbands, you know what I'm saying? And instead of seeking your attention from an unknown source who you don't even know what that person looks like, you don't know their situation or anything about them,
come shop with
come
us.
To the source. Let us tell it.
Yeah.
Let it come from a man. Go ask a man if you got questions about manhood. Go ask a brother or a husband or uncle or whoever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't come up with no. Did we have a segment last week?
We did. Yeah. What would we change?
Now I'm talking about yesterday as in last week. Oh. Y'all, we filming these in advance. So we shot yesterday, which would be last week when they watch
it. No, I don't think so. I don't think we had yesterday.
Do you want to do one? You want to try to come up with one off top? Like one that we've done before?
We can. You got, which one have we done before?
I know I need to. I need y'all. Y'all watching this. Y'all watching the production of this live. All right, and y'all ain't even on Patreon watching this. This is how we coming up with this. You want to do good or bad examples of manhood?
You got one?
I got one I just thought of.
All right, go ahead and say yours, and then I'll be thinking over
it. So this is, I would say, from me, this is a would be a good example of manhood. I was having a talk with my oldest son. This was, months ago. Was it last year? I don't know. It was a little while ago. And we were sitting there talking about, you know, the schooling situation. You know, we were working on getting him out of his current school. Not even working on. He actually got accepted to a private school that we wanted him to go to. And I was just giving him, you know, different examples of things that he has experienced. And I was just basically just letting him know that he could feel comfortable coming to me or his mom about any and everything, because there's nothing that he will go through that we haven't been through, so to speak.
Yeah.
But then one thing I had to tell him, because this is something that me and Angel both had to come to realization, is our kids aren't us, and they're growing up in a different time. So the things that they're not getting or understanding, or things that they naturally do at his age at 12, is like when I was 12, I was doing this, so I had to tell myself to stop doing that.
Ah.
Because he's not me, and
that's
he's
true.
Not his
they
wife.
Totally
he's
different.
Not my wife. Yeah, they're totally different. So one thing I did in the moment, I didn't realize it was me. I look at it now as me manning up, but in the moment, I didn't realize that. It was just me being a father and doing what I need to do. But I feel like depending on who you are, you may need to tell yourself to man up this. And I had to apologize for him if it seems like I'm coming off too hard on him sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I just let him know that I didn't want him to make, if I could avoid him making mistakes that I made, or if he could avoid it, if I could guide him through that, I would rather that happen. If there's any mistakes that I see that he's made, or any bad patterns or bad habits that I see him developing that I also developed at that age, if I could guide him out of that or coach him out of that before it becomes a life lesson for him, I would want to do that. And when I explained that to him, I apologized. Like, look, this is why I'm always on you about paying attention and always on you about, you know, in the moment, forget everything else and focus on what you're doing or whatever it may be. And it's always little stuff. It's just a whole bunch of little stuff that would always add up. And I'm like, you know, I guess being a parent, I feel like I'm telling you the same thing over and over. Why aren't you listening, you know?
True.
But in that moment, when we were having that discussion, I had to apologize to him. I was like, you know, I said, even though I've been where you are, where I'm currently at, this is my first time doing it. This is my first time having a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
This is your first time, you know, being a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
This is I said, what I go through with you, I would have gone through it for the first time because you're the oldest. I said, so I will do my part in understanding where you're at in life, but at the same time, I want you to understand that I'm always coming from a place of love, and I'm doing the same part, and I want you to do your part of understanding where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So that was me manning up, basically admitting I was wrong. If I was wrong in the past, let me apologize if it came off a different way. So that was an example, I feel like a good example of me manning up and letting my son see the human side of me, because I don't know how he looks at me, but and when I was that age, my older brother and my dad, they were heroes. There was nothing that they couldn't do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's an example.
Cool. So you gave him, you let him know he can come talk.
Yeah, yeah. That was part of the conversation, just making him feel comfortable. It was like, hey, you're going to make mistakes. I'm still making mistakes.
Yeah.
You're going to see me make mistakes. In fact, here's one of them that I feel like I may have made.
Okay. That's cool. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. That's good. All right. You ready for mine?
If you ready.
All right. I know all y'all guilty of this one. Yeah, I know it. Oh, yeah, I know
me?
It. Here we go. L M N O P. You know what that is?
L M N O P. What is that?
Okay. So, you know, when you're learning your ABCs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
L M N O P.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, I was like, I heard it, but I didn't hear it in the ABCs.
Man, I hated the way my dad treated me when I was learning my ABCs. Uh-huh. And I hated the way I treated my daughter when she was learning her ABCs. I'm out of breath.
It's that hoodie, I told you.
It's the
hoodie. Nah. Told anyway, you, that's why look, I don't like
we
hoodies.
We're going to get on that later. Okay, so bad example of parenting that... what's the segment? Parenting?
Manhood, parenting, whatever.
Oh, manhood.
It's still manhood if you a parent. You know,
okay,
you,
so,
you
so,
a man
yeah,
in, the,
yeah.
In the...
So, growing up, my dad showing frustration to your children.
Yeah.
Certain situations you can show frustration, but dealing with this situation, I couldn't get the L-M-N-O-P down. I couldn't get it. And this man would, I mean... you know, go crazy.
That's the hardest part of the ABCs, by the way.
Take his belt off. And this, I couldn't get it. Eventually, I got it. But then coming to my child, she couldn't get it. And I found myself getting so frustrated.
Yeah.
And I had to step back. And I looked at her. She looked at me. She's about to cry. And she's seeing this frustration on my face. And at that moment, I'm like, damn, I am tripping.
Yeah.
I'm scaring my baby about some ABCs.
Yeah.
And that showing your child frustration like that, I mean, it scares them, you know.
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm working on her, not gaining her trust, but I'm trying to keep her from being afraid of me. Because right now she goes to her mom. She'll come to me, right? And she'll be like, Dad. She'll pause and she's like, never mind. And she'll go right to her mom, ask her the question, not me.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, it's probably because that L-M-N-O-P situation. So
I feel it because I remember being a kid and not knowing what that was. L-M-N-O-P.
Yeah.
That was a word in the middle of the ABCs. I remember one of my aunts correcting me. She said, what, baby? She said, start it over, so we say ABCs. I was like, L-M-N-O-P.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't know what we were saying right there. I remember I finally learned it. I was like, because I knew, by then, it's crazy, I knew my letters.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, those letters. But you know that meme? It's like, black parents, if you got 5 apples and I take away 2, how many apples? If you got 5, why don't black parents have patience? Not to say, I can only say black parents because I only know, I've had black parents and I've been one, but we be getting frustrated when kids don't.
Man, I was like, L M N O P. Now you said, and she couldn't catch it. And at that, man, I couldn't catch it either, but showing her that frustration, it messed me up with her.
And you saw
literally
the,
right
you
now.
Saw history repeating itself. Yep. God dang.
So now every time she frustrates me in my head, I'm just like, Goose, she's 5 years old, man.
Yeah.
Be easy. Oh,
that's just being a black parent. I know somebody would be like, I never got mad at my kid. Black parents be getting mad at their kids for not knowing simple stuff.
Simple stuff. So
look, we black. We ain't got time to be struggling with this. We got to struggle for the rest of our
life. Hey, I'm acting like this is life and death. You gonna life and death with these ABCs.
It wasn't just ABCs. It was a lot of stuff with, with
all my specifically son. Remember that. The sitting at that table with my dad.
I was like, what acronym is that?
Yeah, you don't even say it.
We need to change that. Rewrite the song.
L-M-N-O-P. You don't Amar even say
Amar knows his ABCs. He don't know that right there. But at this point, I'm like, you'll figure it out.
So my frustration, showing my baby frustration when it's not needed at all, scaring her, is a lesson I learned in manhood. I'm saying it's manhood because that's how my dad treated me. But obviously, women can have this situation happen too. But yeah, showing her frustration. So I am currently working on not showing my frustration when it's definitely not needed.
Yeah.
In the whole situation. Yeah.
Yeah, being in that same situation, like I 100% get it. You know what I'm saying? Just like, why ain't you picking up on this? Yeah. Like, I've seen you doing fractions. Why can't you figure this
out? It'd be crazy, man.
This little thing out right here. But
I bet the folks at home, where you probably was doing it too. L-M-N-O.
Oh, I was doing it. I was like, because when you said L-M, I was like, because Kev started this little Marcus. L-M, I think, is the dumbest nickname.
What?
He started calling little Marcus, my son, L-M. And then people in the comments is like, hey, and every time you see him, like, hey, LM, I said, Marcus, I want you to respect Mr. Kev with every ounce of your soul. I said, but when he called you LM, ignore him. I said, if I see you respond to LM, you will be in trouble.
Why he call him?
You know, Kev always doing something.
That's another thing.
What?
Courtney.
Oh, don't.
Yes. Look,
she said the same thing. She said, yeah, of course. I said, I never heard of course.
I just need this is a great platform to just
off your chest.
This is going to get a lot of numbers. this is a test. Okay. How many of you all know a guy or girl named Courtney? All right. And you or anybody else, yes, Courtney, and their nickname is Court. Okay. You call Courtney Court. You get it? I know several Courtneys. I've never called either one of them Court.
So I was there when you brought this up. It was Kev, Melissa, Danny, Melanie.
Yes.
And they were all like, they were all didn't understand where Goose was coming from. When he brought it up, you brought it up to me.
Yes.
You was like, I got, because apparently y'all had already had this conversation.
We did, yep.
And I was just like, if you say, in my opinion, if you say Court, the only thing left to say is knee.
Yes.
Why would that be a shorter or a nickname? Hey, Court, it's just Courtney. I can see Rob, because you still got Robert or whatever. But Court, and I asked Angel, I said, it's funny, they can't, you know, they was having this discussion. I don't know where Angel was. Well, she couldn't, she went out to the Mocha Mob things or something. Mm. But anyway, she was like, yeah, I've heard the nickname Court. I'm like, of course you have. It's like, I have it. I got a cousin named Courtney. He's got a bunch of other nicknames. Court ain't one of them.
Ain't one of them. C-Money, something like that. But Court, come on, man. And when you respond in the comments, I want to see, tell me where you're from. Because I think that might be like a Seattle, Washington, Oregon.
Predominantly Wahite
population. Area situation going on. Because Mel, Kev, Melissa, they were like, sure. And, you know, they grew up in that area.
Court?
Because there might be a man that gets his nickname by Court. But any of my partners.
I was trying to like.
What's up, Court?
Yeah, I was trying to like swag it up. Like, what up, Court? Yeah, me and Court, I don't see it.
Nah, don't see it. C-Money is probably going to be the closest
C-Money.
Thing.
Why is C-Money. Money? Why is money after the initial? That's like every nickname. G-Money, C-Money.
Hey.
T-Money.
Yep. I got a partner named T-Money.
ain't never been called M Money.
Nah,
I had somebody for my nickname call me T Money before. I was like, I don't even know.
I think, please comment. I need to put the nail in the coffin on this one. All right. And
anyway, fam. So to this week, we talking about basically the hysterectomy versus the vasectomy.
Yeah.
And why we as men, as husbands, as fathers, would always recommend a man, if that's going to be the decision made between a woman getting a hysterectomy and a man getting a vasectomy, the man should definitely go the vasectomy route.
Yeah.
But we will both tell the reason, you know, there always becomes a time to stop having kids. Mm-hmm. So starting off, we're just going to talk through the birthing experience that we had with our wives.
Yeah.
You want to kick it off? You want me to kick it off?
You can go ahead.
So, yeah, this was with the twins. So with the twins, there was Angel had all three pregnancies was natural births.
3 or 14?
You got jokes? Ho ass little boy. anyway.
What? 50-11 kids. Ho ass
boy, I tell you. People. So with the twins, there was.
okay. To the twins.
Didn't they already tell you not to say it?
What? 14, 11?
Nah, 15? They didn't tell you?
Yeah, they told me.
They did?
Yeah.
Woo! Why we not focused today? God dang. All right. The three births that my wife went through. With the twins, we had lost our best friend the day before when the doctor told us that day that he's going to induce Angel tomorrow, the next day. So the kids were 40 minutes apart. Cy came out first, took some time. Cy finally, our stubborn family came out.
40 or 4?
What you talking about?
The kids apart, 40 or 4?
No, 40. 40, dang. Yeah. 40 minutes.
Dang.
Of pushing.
That's what I'm saying. Exhausting. Like, you would think it's right like, 4 minutes, but it's
like
40.
We was talking about last week. It's like women's bodies go through a lot. So kids is here and we out of the, cause she had twins naturally, which most of the doctors and nurses in there had never seen. So we had a room full of people.
Mm.
There were 3 to 4 nurses on each baby and 2 doctors. And then somebody else. Like, I remember standing back and I asked them if I could take a picture of the room because so many people wanted to experience this because so many people have, what's it, episiotomy? Don't get me saying these terms. I don't know. So many, it's not, at this day and age, it's almost not common to have natural birth.
Oh.
There's like,
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, because medicine takes over and they think you need to do this and do that. It's like, you know, 100,000 years, people been having birth naturally, but all of a sudden, 80s and 90s, that's no longer a thing no more. It's like 2000s. It's like, no, we got to pump you full of all this medicine. Angel went with each pregnancy as long as she could without any medicine or medical help. It was like, no, I want to do this naturally. Not to say there's anything wrong with doing it otherwise, but that was one thing that she had on her mind. And the fact that the doctors was like, well, this never happens. You know, they ain't know what to do. Because they basically are used to abnormal situations. It's like, well, they basically made abnormal normal. So it's just like, this is what we need to do. Any drug that goes into you goes into the baby. That's why a lot of babies are born weak and, you know, slow moving because they got the same drugs in them as the mama got put in. So that's why they might not be as alert as a natural birth for a woman that didn't get any I ain't gonna say painkillers, muscle relax. I'm not sure what they put in them, but I'm the wrong one, so don't even ask me all that. Don't come at me because I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so she had the two, had both twins or whatever. So we back into the not labor and delivery room, but the other room before and after you have the kids, because they wheeled her into a different room. So she's sitting there, you know, kind of she's in pain. She's rolling back and forth. They're telling her to keep still. You know, just to lay, you know, I think they wanted her to just lay on her side or her back. And she's in pain and she keeps telling them, I'm in pain. We all know, it's been proven fact, doctors commonly ignore the pain of black people, specifically black women.
Yep.
you know, oh, you're, it'll be fine. Here, we'll give you some Tylenol. We'll give you this. It'll be fine. And so you just had, you know, everything's just adjusting. You're just cramping. Angel's like, no, something's wrong. I'm in some pain. So she went through this probably, I can't remember the exact time. It may have been 15, 20, 30 minutes. I'm not sure. Finally, her mom walks over and she's talking to her, like, you okay? And her mom raises up the blanket on the bed and there's blood everywhere. So she was like, excuse me, this ain't normal.
Yeah.
So one of the nurses walks over and she panics. She calls the other nurses. They call the doctor, bring in the crash cart. They didn't expect Angel to make it from that point.
Yeah.
Doctor came in. One of the nurses, experienced nurses, she started pressing on Angel's stomach. She was like, yep, she's clotting. That's when she said, bring in the crash cart. Basically, she was blood clotting. So the nurse is like, all right, she starts explaining to Angel what she's going to do. I'm going to start pressing on your stomach. I need you to push like you're going to have another baby. So they're pressing hard. Like, Angel's stomach is still swollen from, you know, having babies. They're pushing. It looks like her hand is going down to Angel's, like, spine. That's how hard she's pushing.
This is finally, after birth.
This is after. Finally, basically, they were able to push out a blood clot out of Angel that was pretty much bigger than one of the twins. A blood clot that big.
Yeah.
I mean, insane. And like I said, they didn't say it because we sat in here at the time. I didn't even know what the crash cart was. It was this red cart that they brought in with the, you know, clear, all of that. Because they was like, we don't think this is going to go very well.
Yeah.
So after they did all that, you know, everybody, and I'm at the moment, I'm calm. But I know if something happened to her, I probably would have gotten put in prison. Yeah. Because we were both going through a lot. Like I said, the day before, we just lost our friend. He died unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. We found out that same day that he died, we went to the doctor's office. He said, I'm going to induce you tomorrow, because she was full term. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, so now I'm sitting here, got these two new babies.
Dang.
My wife's on the bed bleeding out. What do I have?
You know
what
I'm saying? And y'all let them know she wasn't feeling well.
Yeah, after we had been telling her. She had been telling them multiple times. So then fast forward, you know, the twins are now 4 or 5 years old, and now she's like, let's try again for a girl. And I'm like, have you lost your damn mind? Hell no.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Did not want to have another child. Mm-hmm. So Mar was her idea, trying to have a girl. I can let you know that right now. I was not on board with that until she beat me down long enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to deprive this woman of possibly having another child. I told her, she was like, why don't you want to have another? Because.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but I remember.
Yeah.
So that's like one of the, that led me basically after Amar of me going to, after he was here, I was like, yep, y'all seen in the twins video, the super sperm video. I said, I can go get snipped. I should have went ahead and done it. So that's like a birthing story of one reason of why a decision would be made swiftly of not having any more kids.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and give yours?
Yeah, so if you go on YouTube on my Building with Goose channel, me and Mel.
What's it called?
Building with Goose.
Building with Goose on YouTube.
Building with Goose on YouTube.
Go subscribe.
Yeah. And we talk about the whole birthing experience. But she had, the birth was, let me think. The birth was semi-smooth. She took drugs
mm-hmm.
to help her, but it numbed her so much it caused her to panic because she couldn't feel her legs.
I hear that a lot. Yeah, yeah, they can't feel
and
anything.
This girl went, she just panicked, and it made me panic because I can't lift my leg. I can't feel it, you know. And
I got a question. Did she have a C-section?
Yeah.
She didn't have to push.
No.
Okay, that was one of the issues I always hear is when they do get the drugs and they go numb, it's like they push, but the women, they can't feel anything, so they don't know. Yeah. They don't know what to focus on. But in my bad, I was curious of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the reason she had the cesarean was with our first child, she had a cesarean. And she had a cesarean with McKinley because she dilated But then the cervix started swelling, closed. So she couldn't push nothing through. And the baby's head was trying to come through. And they were like, it's not about to happen.
So it was an emergency.
So they, yeah, so they had to cut open. And my baby head came out like a cone shape. Literally like a cone shape. Hey, kid you not. When she got out, and, you know, they showed Mel the baby. We looking at the baby. She looked at me. I looked at her. I was like, what's going on, man? Why my baby head like this? I ain't signed up with this. What is this? Man, that thing was cone shaped. Boy, as soon as they brought him to, I'm pressing on the baby head when they gave him. Like,
man, she's back there.
As y'all see her head fine.
I've been patting like a piece of dough.
Her head fine now. But yeah, I was like, man, we got to fix this. But with Micaiah, she took the drugs or whatever. And she went through, I mean, just panic, anxiety. I mean, it was hard watching that.
Yeah.
So after the birth, everything was cool, basically. But then a few days after, she, it wasn't even a few days after. It might have been a week after. Mel was complaining about her head hurting and not feeling too well. So we went to, her head wasn't, she wasn't feeling well, but we weren't paying it no mind or whatever. So we went to our doctor's appointment, and the doctor took her blood pressure, just a random checkup, and her blood pressure was high. So the doctor was like, hey, your blood pressure's kind of high right now. After the appointment, we'll check it again to make sure everything is cool. Checked it again, and it went even higher. So Mel was diagnosed with post-preeclampsia. That's when your blood pressure skyrockets or whatever. Usually women have preeclampsia before the birth.
Yeah.
And then when you take the, what is it? The placenta out, everything is fine. But all of this was already gone. So that's why they call it post-preeclampsia. Her blood pressure went up. The regular blood pressure is what, 120 over 80?
Mm-hmm.
Her blood pressure got up to 213 over 109.
Wow.
Crazy. So we're in the hospital.
Sorry, if you're watching this, I'm pretty sure you know the blood pressure ranges. 120 over 80 is considered normal. They consider 140 over 80 high blood pressure.
Yes.
So to be 2-something over 100.
Yep.
Something is scary.
It was wild. So when we got to the hospital, they put the IV in our arm. Mind you, I'm shortening this story up because we went to the hospital 2 times because we had to come back because of medication mishaps or whatever. So each time they had to do the IV, each time they missed her vein. They done stabbed my wife up a couple of times. So she had to go through that. Then her arm bruised up. She had this big bruise on her arm from where the IVs were. But when we went in for the last time and it skyrocketed, the nurses, they couldn't even hold their composure. The lady, it popped up on the screen and she was all calm at first. Girl, you know, this is normal. This is that. The machine popped up and she was like, nah, that can't. Boo woo. She called somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, they rushed in. They had to give her this medicine that drops your blood pressure like this. Like it drops real fast.
Yeah.
And it did so. It dropped it real fast, but it kept on spiking shooting back up. When I tell y'all, your boy got emotional, Mel crying, I'm crying, the nurses coming in, stabbing her up. I'm like, oh, man, this is a hard time. So, but the entire time, nothing's happening to me. My wife is experiencing this. So it was really rough. And come to find out, preeclampsia is
Post-preeclampsia?
No. Oh, preeclampsia. Oh. When your blood pressure is going to skyrocket. This is like a normal situation that happens with women. So your blood pressure getting skyrocketing, you can stroke out.
Yeah.
So that's a risk. You know what I'm saying? A normal risk to getting pregnant, you might stroke out. So that's another reason vasectomy.
Yeah.
Is about to take place.
Or
So, that's the short story. Go to Building with Goose, you get the whole situation. Mel will explain everything too. But in short, post preeclampsia, blood pressure, she could have stroked out at any moment. And I was like, yeah, we ain't doing this no more.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure. We ain't doing this.
It's like it's a risky, you know, pregnancy. It's like I've always said, if I was a woman, I just would not have no kids. Before having kids, I always said that. I'm like, ain't no, like, what? I seen, you know, cousins and, you know, everybody's like, oh, y'all hit a baby, and then, you know, walk in, go visit, and it's like, you know, woman, this is 2-3 days. Some women bounce right back and up. Sometimes, you know, women are down for a couple of days, maybe a week.
Man, we were in the hospital walking around in a circle, and there was like three other women. Man, they, looked like they going through hell, man. And I'm like, goodness. And to what you said, if I was a woman, I would have to, what is it called, a surrogate?
Yeah.
I have to pay, hey, you going to hold my baby for me? Y'all go through so much. I'm like, hey, you can.
Certain things manhood can't handle. That's one of them.
Take that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold that for me.
But so with that said, it's like when you go move over into, so let's say y'all done had kids and it's one of those situations where it's like, all right, we ain't going to have no more kids. Yep. If you married, it's a good chance you ain't going to be using no type of protection as far as condoms.
Yep.
And I'm going to let you know right now, there's not too many forms of birth control for women that doesn't affect with their hormones.
Yeah.
In some type of way. You know, even the little, they got the little copper thing. They got so many different forms of birth control now, but just from, I know at least from my experience that I've seen, you know, even with Angel, anybody else taking birth control, it's like, it's going to, is the natural aspect of the way the woman's body works is going to affect it in some type of way.
Gain weight.
Yeah, gain weight, you know, libido drops. It's so many different things.
That little thing they put inside of the vagina, UTI, I think UTI. It's called. That thing, me and Mel, when we were dating, she had that. That kept coming out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, with me, you know, I'm a scuba dive. I be hitting it.
Yeah, I was about to say it happened to us. Angel was like, I'm too embarrassed. I'm not going to keep going in there and telling the doctor that it needs to go further in because you're hitting it. Yeah. It's like, she was like, either you got to deal with it or you go tell it.
Dropping D.
Yeah, I was like, hey, doc, you got to put your arm in there and drop this bad boy. Nah, but for real, that's a real thing. It's like, it's only so far, you know, things. And it's just like you in there and feel like a needle poking the edge of your penis. It's like, hey, hold on. But anyway.
that being just staying inside of just them in too, there. That's, man, come on.
Yeah, so.
You ain't got to go through that.
So with, you know, hysterectomy, again, I'm no medical professional. I know it is considered major surgery to them to open up a woman and, you know, tie her tube. Some women have to get it done. Like in Mel's case, if I've heard of situations in the past where something happened and they had to do a tube tied or hysterectomy or whatever it may be. And it's just like, all right. But even then, there's still, I think they said like a 60% chance of that not, or maybe a woman getting her tubes tied is a 60% chance of her still being able to, of that healing itself and her getting pregnant.
Yeah, it is.
These percentages could be wrong, but I know it's a pretty high thing to where men getting a vasectomy, that procedure, I mean, that percentage drops a lot. And with that, it's like, again, with women, it's a, you know, a pretty simple, it's pretty, you know, serious operation. I've had a vasectomy. I've talked to 12 different guys that I knew had vasectomies before I got mine. One of them, by the time he got his vasectomy, was he, me and Angel even married yet? He had had his for a long time. Same with one of my other friends. He had had his for like 12 years by the time I talked to him. And it's funny, I was talking, both of these are, you know, I'm real cool with. Mm-hmm. And I was asking my other boy, Greg, I was asking him, like, so, you know, what's it like, man? Y'all know you had a vasectomy. Like, you know, is anything changed? Like, what's the difference? Mm-hmm. My homegirl, his wife, jumped in and gave me way too much information. Basically, ain't nothing changed. She said everything the same. I ain't even gonna tell you what she said. But when she spoke, I was just like, I wish I didn't know that much about y'all.
Somebody nasty over.
But she did this full detail. You be careful what you ask for, because you asked him, but I'm right here beside him, and I am him, he is me. Yeah. Anyway, so after, you know, getting enough, what I did do was I went to purposefully research negative things about a vasectomy.
Yeah.
And it was hard to find. I couldn't find a lot of, I heard of people hearing other stories like, well, I heard this, but I haven't heard of any first count long-term negative effects of having a vasectomy. I heard some men say they felt discomfort or whatever, or like some type of swelling or something. The guys that I know that had swelling, they went to do too much too early.
Okay.
Like physical activity, lifting, running, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
There was one article I found that said they had, this is like a 1% of the population. They had where the semen gets backed up into the scrotum and it gets like painful knots, but it goes away.
Yeah.
And there was one instance through all my research I did. And I researched for like months and months and months. There was one instance where one guy constantly, it never went away. He's always in constant pain. But I'm like, that sounds like a doctor mistake. If all these situations don't happen, I even sat down with my urologist, like, in detail. I was asking him these questions, and he was just like, he told me possibilities of this, that, and the other. He said, there's people in and out there like a revolving door. He was like, I do like 15, 20 of these a week. He was like, and I've been doing that, I don't know, like 15 or 20 years. He said, I haven't heard, nobody's ever come back to me with anything.
And then isn't the procedure reversible as well?
Depending on what it is, it's reversible.
Yeah.
Now that's not 100% that the reverse will be 100%.
Yeah.
But yes, it is reversible. So with me, he goes in, they go in this vas deferens, that's why it's called a vasectomy. The vas deferens is two veins that carry the semen.
Mm-hmm.
You have the semen and you have the sperm. But basically that vas deferens, they remove a section. They burn the edges, and then they they take out the section of the straw, so that's severed. And then they burn the edges, and in some instances they even tie knots in both sides as like a precaution, so it doesn't over years doesn't come back together, fuse together, and all of a sudden you got swimmers again.
Yeah, be 60 years old getting pregnant. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it was a perfect example. So that's basically what they do to both sides. So this is the vas deferens right here. If you're watching, I'm holding up a straw, and my arm is one side, the other side. They basically take out a section, burn it closed, and stop the sperm from getting, you know, from going through and getting. Now there's still, you know, semen that's produced or whatever, but it doesn't have any swimmers in it. You know what I'm saying?
Did the doctor tell you what happens to the sperm? Does it just?
They basically just die. They absorb into your body like they would just as you if you weren't having sex.
Oh, man.
So that's why those few instances where some guys say they had like their scrotum was painful or like a painful knot, it could be a backup of that, but it goes away. For these fellas that be going on these men's trips, if they ain't doing nothing,
yeah.
It's the same thing. It's just going into the body. It just goes away.
I've had an episode where my scrotum was sore. Went to the doctor and he was like, "Oh, your whenever
blue
you-
balls." I could have told you. Hey, you should have just called me Goose.
Yeah, this didn't go away even after I relieved myself. This didn't even go away. I went to him and he was like, oh, your semen, whenever you ejaculated, all of it didn't go out.
Uh-huh.
It went back in and it caused an infection. So I needed antibiotics to remove it. Now,
that's what happens when you pull out.
Now, my question would be to that doctor. I would tell when my appointment is on the 16th. So this is 4 days from now.
So by this area, you would have been in a hedge or appointment.
Yep.
Are you going to my dude?
Nope.
Hyman? Ironically, my doctor's name was Dr. Hyman.
Hyman. has Tony's doctor.
I don't know his doctor. My doctor's
or
better.
The same.
My doctor's actually on YouTube.
UCLA urology, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let him know, okay, what's the difference from blocking the semen and what happened to me? I would think that would still cause an infection.
No, because if you ejaculated, they already went through and came back versus the vasectomy, they don't even go through.
Ah, okay.
That would be my unprofessional thought behind it.
Yeah, so I'm definitely asking my doctor. I ain't taking advice.
No.
But I can take your advice on this. So
I ain't going to give
any change. We'll forget. any change in feeling or?
Well, let me finish the.
Oh, go ahead.
So basically they go in with the decision through the scrotum. One incision in the scrotum, basically a little hole.
Oh.
I'm gonna get in all that. They go do one side. They basically cut, remove, put it in a little jar. I'm sitting there looking at it. It's a little clear tube. Burn both sides. He grabs the other side. By the time he's got his little gauze or whatever wiping, he's like, "All right, that's it." We were sitting there talking about work and cars, and when he said that's it, I'm thinking, "All right, that's a." He's got one step. Now he's about to do the first side. He was like, I was like, so what else we got to do? I said, you said, that's it. You can get dressed. 10. I say from the time I walked into the room to the time he said, that's it. It'd been 15 minutes.
Dang. That's
what felt like 2 minutes. When I tell you my fists were clenched, excuse me, the entire time I was so tense. I mean the whole time. So the only pain I felt a slight pinch.
Dang.
He said, you're going to feel a slight pinch. It'll feel like a mild bee sting. That's the numbing.
Mm.
After that, him basically pulling out the tubes to cut, he said, this is going to almost feel like somebody. He said, you have been, kicked in the nuts before. I said, no, but I know that pain.
Mm.
He said, it's going to feel like a mild version of that. So basically, that's him pulling the tube out.
Mm.
And you know how you feel it in your stomach? But it don't hurt. You just feel like he said, let me know.
Yeah.
He said, let me know if you feel any pain.
Yeah.
So he sees me clenching up. He said, does it hurt really bad? I said, nah, it doesn't, but I'm afraid it will. he said, just relax. He said, try to relax. So this is me the whole time. If you're listening, arms crossed like I'm a what's it called?
It's your first time.
A pharaoh in a sarcophagus. Yeah, so I'm just like clenched up or whatever. And then he went to the other side, same thing, kind of felt like the tug. And I was like, oh, it's about to hurt. Oh, he's just doing his thing and talking. He's like, oh, okay, so you're a general contractor? Yeah, how long you been doing that? Oh, dude, what you doing
in your free time? This,
I was like, oh, I like cars and stuff. And he kept asking me, he said, how much does it hurt? I said, it don't hurt. But it's almost like, somebody like swinging a bat at your face. You're going to
afraid
it's going to hit you. Just knowing what's happening. Because he's explaining it or whatever, so knowing what's happening was had me clenched. But I tell you, I felt no pain, even after the fact. Like, he walks out or whatever, cleans up. I got the little gauze on. I got my special underwear. I got seen the thing for the special underwear. Oh, basically, okay. It's the ones with the drawstring, and they cup all your junk, your nuts, so that you don't want nothing hanging free
for
3-4 days.
Need some support.
Yeah, so I put them on. And Angel comes in. Well, actually, I'm still laying on the table trying to decompress, and I had one of my hats, so I heard the door open, so I'm laying there with my hat over my junk, and she walks in. She's like, you are? I'm like, all right. So she's helping me out the table, and I'm moving all slow, stiff. She was like, does it hurt? I said, nah, I don't feel no pain. She said, why are you walking like that? Yeah. I said, because I'm scared something might hurt.
I know, man.
So I walk out, stiff leg, walking all slow, get home, got the ice.
Never felt pain. Not once did I feel any pain. But as far as feeling, when I tell you, absolutely.
Well, hold on. Stitches or dissolvable, anything?
Mm-hmm. They don't even stitch that little. It closes up because the incision's so small. That's crazy. Smaller than the opening of his straw. It's small. They literally gave me some gauze.
Yeah.
They was like, oh, yeah, it'll bleed a little. It might bleed a little bit, but it's almost like you getting a cut on your arm. It's like, oh, you can put probably duct tape on it, and it'll nah, don't do that because you might snatch it open, rip it off. But no stitches or nothing.
What about painter's tape? Because, you know, painter's tape ain't that strong. You paint the tape.
I wouldn't, but you won't take my advice, so go ahead if you want to. blue tape, wrapping around
for my blue ball,
match the color. But I'm telling you, I don't feel nothing. It's like it never happened. The only difference is my wife ain't on no birth control.
Yeah,
that flower is untampered with, and it blossoms fully.
There we go.
For that reason, I'm 100%. And this was 2 years ago. Was it 2, 3? Right after Amara. So, he'll be 3. So, yeah, almost 3 years ago. And I talked to guys, 12 years into it. I think by the time Greg was like almost 20 years. And it's just like, I asked his wife. She said, nope, looks the same, smells the same, tastes the same. Does the same. I said, God dang it, I didn't want to hear all that.
I wonder if, you know how they say guys that don't have sex like that be extra strong. So now that you're not, you're
always been strong.
Yep, but are you stronger? Because you're not releasing your sperm. What's the other stuff? The
semen and
the semen is leaving, but the sperm isn't. So if the semen's absorbing in your body. You seen that meme? I'm immortal. You see that?
I can't tell you. I don't know nothing about. I know what you're saying, but yeah. I don't know.
You ain't
if
see
I'm
a
stronger.
Difference. I'm a.
You know what they say? Yo, you over here, cock strong. You ain't head now. You're strong. I'm still getting relieved.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
So I'm convinced.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that like you see the evidence of like. A hysterectomy and the changes that it takes a woman through.
Yeah.
You do all the research. Don't take my word for any of this. Do for Greg or anybody else. Do all the research you can. You won't find a lot on, the cons of getting a vasectomy. Like I said, I've heard stories of, my friend's husband, he can't ejaculate no more. I'm like, well, that's probably something else. He probably needs to get checked out. Yeah, don't blame it on the vasectomy.
Some Viagra or something.
Some people, I heard one, people say, it's hard to get an erection after you give a set. What? That's not even how the anatomy works down there. I had people in comments when we talked about it on Is Gonna Cause an Argument. It's like, yeah, it's hard to get an erection. Or one lady said her husband, it doesn't shoot out anymore. It just like oozes out. I'm like, again, that's not how the anatomy works.
Like he dehydrated.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, it's pointing towards something else. That's not how the anatomy works down there. But honestly, I don't feel any, I will tell you that first time because so after you have it, there's a period of time to where the sperm that's in there has to die.
Ah, okay.
So that's usually however many weeks. So you have to go back and get a sperm count. And the first time I went back, I still had sperm.
Ah, okay.
So I'm still waiting
to get
it in.
Yeah, yeah.
But that first time of doing anything, scary. Because I'm like, is this about to hurt?
I bet, man.
This is the first time of everything, just not knowing. I can't say, I didn't know. I can research all I want, but
last
just not
forever.
Knowing.
You're like, what's happening? Nah, I ain't trying to know.
Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah. Well, my nuts might come through. Right? but then after that, I was supposed to wait like four more weeks to go back and get a second count. I never went back for my second count. I said, they got to be gone at this point.
Yeah, they gone.
Then I was joking around with Angel. She laughed at first, and then she cussed me out. I was like, well, you too old to get pregnant anyway. She still thought it was funny, though.
See, I'm convinced that I will get it done off of what you said. But I'm also, another reason is because my wife has already been through so much already. So
yeah,
it's my turn to do something.
Yeah.
From holding, creating the child in her for 9 months, then giving birth, then after birth, almost losing her life. Then after losing her life, she's breastfeeding. Then after breastfeeding, you're changing diapers, getting up, postpartum. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. And during this whole time, I mentioned it on another episode we had, nothing happened. The man doesn't experience anything. I mean, this is the least I can do to benefit the both of us. So, if it's not going to change my hormonal and my hormonal balance, and, you know, I'm down for it. I think men should go ahead and take on that responsibility, since the woman has taken on basically everything else. And it's a load off of the woman too. Right now, male's not on birth control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still shooting. You know, I still got bullets off in my clip. And literally, we've talked, and she was like, when we do it, in the back of my head, I'm thinking,
yeah,
if I get pregnant. And after she told me that, I'm like, oh, I should have got it while we was in the hospital when she was giving birth. Right after she gave birth, I should have went and got snipped. I don't know why we ain't playing it like that. We should have did it. But knowing that's even in the back of her head, I want my lady to be, her mind to be free when she's with me and we loving on each other. So, yeah, I'm getting snipped. And I'm going to bring y'all along the journey. When I go in on the 16th, I'm going to tell y'all what they tell me after I get the is it surgery? Or is it just a procedure? Like what is it?
It's an outpatient procedure.
Yeah. I'm going to let y'all know how it felt, what he did. Bring you, bring you in as close as I can.
If you ain't 100% comfortable, I'm going to clown you for not going to my guy.
Because
Tony's got to work with old men. Because he did Tony.
But Tony about 50, 60 years old. You sent me your guy info, but
I probably did. I think any of them would do fine though. I haven't heard of it. The people I know that had bad experiences, it was that person's doing and not the doctor or the procedure.
I don't want them cutting the wrong tube, burning it up.
Well, if they do that, he shouldn't have no scalpel in his hand to begin with. But no, I've talked to a guy like men. I've talked to different men. You know, they all do that whole egotistical beating of the chest. No, I ain't getting done. No, I'm still a man. I ain't gonna let nobody cut it. Coming from somebody that's had it done, somebody no mature. I'm speaking of myself right now. It sounds stupid. Like, it just sounds extremely unintelligent and immature to approach something like that. No, she's going to have to get it done. Because Angel told me straight up, either you get this done. She said, you know what a hysterectomy, you know, can do to me. If you either get this done or you pull out. I don't pull out. Clearly.
It's hard now. It's hard because it's hard.
But for a man, and a lot of that, it comes from, you know, ignorance or being, you know, just being oblivious to the actual procedure or what it is. Mm-hmm. A lot of men think they, you know, that is, you know, removing their manhood from them. It's like, you're not getting your dick cut, excuse me. You're not getting your member chopped off. They're not castrating you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's a procedure that keeps you from getting, you know, keeps you from, you know, you still produce sperm, they just don't ejaculate from you. And it's like I said, I haven't talked to anybody. Like I said, my friend that I worked with, he came back to work. He was, you know, he had his frozen. I don't know why peas work best, but apparently they do. That's what I used. He had his peas stuffed down in his pants.
So it's looked all puffy right here. I even took a picture from across the room and zoomed in, took a picture and sent it to him. It was hilarious. But he came back to work, I think 2 days later, and did a bunch of walking around, you know, construction site, up on ladders and stuff. And he was in pain for like 2 weeks after that, like swollen, sore, pain. And I'm like, I got my procedure done on a Tuesday, I think. Mm-hmm. I sat down on Wednesday, I had it done on a Wednesday. I sat down Thursday. I'm sorry, it was a Tuesday, because I sat down. I didn't move on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, I went to the LA car show that year. I think this was 2019. Mm-hmm. And I was fine. So by the time I went back to work, I still wasn't doing a lot, but I was being extremely careful. Mm-hmm. But again, never felt any pain. I feel great now.
With the men feeling like, you know, man, what if I want to have kids later down the road, or
then don't have a vasectomy?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Don't have it. If your wife is saying she don't want to have any more children, and y'all of a certain age, you know, this is the best way around that. Or wear a condom, or I ain't even gonna say the pull out situation, because ever since me and my wife have been trying to avoid getting pregnant again, man, it's gonna happen. Because it takes the power of Almighty God Himself to keep me from just laying off in there. Pow! I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, no. You gonna slip up one time.
I've lied to Angel. I don't plan. You're like, we gotta go. You know, I don't wanna have to take a shower. You gonna pull out? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. That's what I'm saying. So, if your wife doesn't want to have children, I would get in my opinion, of course, the vasectomy.
Yeah, so man up. Yeah. Cut it off.
Yeah, man. Do your wife and your old lady a favor.
Do you.
Yeah. You know
I'm telling you. Like, it's
take responsibility.
Yeah, there's so many in my opinion, it seems. I can't even say in my opinion, just from what I've heard of hysterectomies and everything, it seems like as far as the woman's body, depending on what is happening, there's more cons than pros.
Yeah.
To where, you know, vasectomy, being that I don't want to have any more kids, I can't think of a single con.
Yeah. Plus, everything here in the world is based on controlling women, really.
Yeah.
They don't have anything for men. If you think about it, birth control for a woman, the whole
women's decision to not have a baby.
Yeah, the abortion situation. Everything that the man holds no responsibility for anything. A man can go out here and 16 kids.
Yeah, did you see that thing that woman was saying that a man can impregnate one woman every single day for up to however many months? But a woman can only have one child every 9 months.
Yep.
And it's like, so who needs the birth control?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, come on. Yeah. Get the vasectomy, man.
Yeah.
Cut it loose.
I've talked to those type of men that refuse to do that and would rather talk their wives into getting a hysterectomy or whatever. I'm like, you a coward. Man up.
Yeah.
That's my word. Take it how you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Men, stop being punks.
Yeah,
go
man.
Cut that vast deference in half and have fun with life.
Don't get snipped.
Anyway, fam, hope y'all enjoy this. We've been all over the place, and that's what we wanted to do, so deal with it. Again, I'm one of your hosts, Marcus Tanksley. You can find me on Instagram at Marcus N on the Gram, Facebook, Marcus N on the Book, and at TikTok at Tank Don't Talk, and you can get my 100% natural beard and body butter called Man Shit. That's M-A-N-S-H-Y-T. I make it. I use it. I package it. I ship it off.
It's a lot of work. I'm actually looking for somebody to manufacture that for me. Goose.
Yep. You can catch me on Instagram, GOOLZBY, YouTube, Building with Goose. And you can buy my merch on underrepmerch.com. All right.
Underrepresented. Make sure y'all go check it out.
Yeah.
All right, fam. Y'all have a good one.